Broadcasting from within the borders of the greatest success story the world has ever known, the United States of America. It's time for an honest discussion from a fresh, new conservative voice. The C.L. Bryant Show.
Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody, throughout the fruited plains of the greatest nation on the face of the planet, and the greatest success story the world has ever known, and that is America. We want to thank each and every one of you for coming along with us on a day-to-day basis as we build the bridge to conversation right here in our great nation on the C.L. Bryant Show. I am C.L. Bryant. And hey, it is a great day in the USA. I have coming up in the show two incredibly interesting individuals. Larry Taunton's coming up at the bottom of the hour, and he is the president, founder of Fixed Point Foundation. I'll be with him, Sam Sarbo, and Eric Metaxas, and others on this weekend. And I certainly want to thank you, all of you who are going to be in attendance with us in advance for being there. And good Lord willing, this is going to be an incredible gathering. It's called Understanding What's Going On in America. Understanding what's happening. You need to understand what's happening in America. I think we were much more aware when we were actually asking people that on when we greeted them, what's happening? You know, what's happening? That's gone away. Don't even say that anymore. What's happening? So we're going to understand what's happening come this weekend. 3 days, we're going to be there, and you ought to be there with us. There in Birmingham, we're going to be at the Grand Bahamian there in Birmingham, and Sam Sarbo and Eric Metaxas will be there with us. And so come and be a part of something that is, in fact, going to make a difference in the way we as Americans approach our present day crisis. And you had better believe this. There is a present-day crisis that is absolutely going on. And I know, listen, I know that many times what we try to do is play-like. And we used to call it plike when we were kids. You plike, cowboy. I plike like I'm an Indian. So we used to play-like. flashback. But anyway, we're ignoring this and we're not seeing it. You know, there are some things that do happen right in front of your eyes. Even people who are rational, it doesn't matter. It can happen. It can happen. There are people who are normally rational, but they all of a sudden somehow. I don't know how it happens, but it does. I don't know how it happens, but it does. It happens. They are in a bad situation, but they like to play like that's not happening. No, they're not there by choice or anything of that nature. They are there because they chose to be there. I mean, it just happened. I'm not saying they wouldn't. No, it just happened. See, there are some situations you take on, but there are some situations that happen to you. So, many times when things are happening to you that you don't want to happen, you play like you say, like I just said, when we were kids, you play like you, it's okay. But then when we look at this border thing happening, we can't even play like this is okay. Spike in COVID, right? You got a spike in COVID. That's what they're telling us. You got a spike in COVID. And so you're wondering now, where's that coming from? All right. Where is it coming from? At the bottom of the hour, we're also going to have on, at the bottom of the next hour, or at the top of the next hour, we're going to have on Clarence Mason Weaver. Yes, shaker, mover, author, Clarence Mason Weaver is going to be on with us. It's Okay to Leave the Plantation. Clarence wrote that book. And he's also premiered in my film, which is now 10 years ago, Runaway Slave. When we first made that film, it was the bell cow. It was the signaling bell of what's going on in conservative politics now with the movements of, say, Blexit, blacks, you know, who are leaving the Democrat Party. None of them were around. None of them. Candace Owens, in fact, was on the other side of this coin 10 years ago. Okay, she didn't like Tea Partiers. No, she didn't like Tea Partiers. I know a lot of you may say, I didn't like Tea Partiers. Well, I was one. I was proud to be one then. I'm proud to be one now. Are you hearing me? And all these people who are doing Tea Party-ish stuff right now, believe me, they weren't around then. No, the slings and arrows were suffered by very, very few black folks back then. I was among them, and I can tell you, there were very, very few of us. And most of them who were doing anything are in my film, including Dr. Thomas Sowell. Janine Borelli is in the film. We have everyone in the film. Andrew Breitbart, Glenn Beck, everybody's in that film. You can get it. You can still get it on Amazon. And Runaway Slave, the movie. You get that one. Going to have Clarence Mason Weaver on with us in the next hour. Coming up at the bottom of this hour will be Larry Alex Taunton. I just got off the phone with him and was just sort of joshing with that. But anyway, hey, folks, what is the cause? What's the cause of corona spiking? Well, aside from the six, I was talking to my girlfriend a little bit earlier, texted. Aside from the six runaway, as they call them, congressmen from Texas, except for those six, and to tell you the truth, six out of 60, I think it was. You know, that's astronomical as far as the numbers are concerned. And this is what's amazing, because we got to examine this part of it. We're going to talk to Larry Alex Taunton about this in just a little bit. What does it mean? What's the ramifications? All six, from what I understand, unless they lied and didn't get it. And I'm telling you, I didn't get it, and I ain't lying. Six of them got it. And they had already, according to them, unless they lied, they had been vaccinated, right? Well, I don't know. Now, I was talking to Scott Adams a little bit earlier in the day here. And, you know, Scott had a very interesting take on this. Scott has a great mind, by the way, folks. You can tune him in 8 o'clock Eastern every day. The Scott Adams Show comes on. So be sure to tune in. Scott Adams, because he has a great mind. Listen, he ran this by me, and I was pondering this and wanted to develop it a little bit further than he and I talked about it. But this is the genesis. This is the foundation of the idea that Scott Adams shared with me. Isn't it amazing how every time it appears that you have this thing, coronavirus, on the run, you know, I mean, just about out of our, you know, just about fading in the rearview mirror. It's fading in the rearview mirror. Somehow, Democrats always seem to be able to pull it back. Are you hearing me? Hear me now. They're able to pull it back into the main arena, on the main stage. Huh? You're not really paying attention to what's going on the smaller stages. You know, you know who might be there, and you might wander over and see somebody that you're interested in. Okay? But everybody's interested in what's going on the main stage. And there's a reason why everyone's interested in what's going on the main stage, because what's going to be happening on the main stage is the most important thing to keep the focus of whoever that audience is. You want to keep them on the main stage. And everybody, in fact, the sideshow stages shut down when the main stage speaker is going to speak. Glory to God. In those situations, myself having been an evangelist for years, they might have breakout sessions, yada, 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 all day long. But when I was going to preach, everything came to the main auditorium. So you be at the main stage. The Lord has blessed me in these latter days, even after leaving the haven't left the pulpit, but you know, the preaching every Sunday in a pulpit as I was as a pastor. The Lord has broadened my pulpit to a way now in a place now where, yeah, I do a lot of main stage events, main stage nationally. And I'm grateful for that. Glory to God. But there's some reason why they want this COVID thing, and this is my point, to stay on the main stage. Everything else seems to want to shut down when they bring COVID to the main stage. Now, this is what Scott was saying. Scott was saying, isn't it strange how they are not able to actually say or prove anything as far as COVID is concerned with the vaccine being people giving people confidence? People had confidence that with the vaccine, they were safe, according to the CDC. But, now it's being reported in the news media. Hear me, in the news media, that even those with the vaccine are becoming COVID positive, or they're showing up, or they're testing COVID positive. Could they be over testing? Quite possibly so. Everybody's going to have. I said this. I can go back and get the show and play it for you. I said this almost a year ago. I said everybody is going to have test positive for COVID. Imagine if you tested somebody for what did we have to go through? If you test them for the flu virus, let's just say the flu virus. Everybody would test positive to have some form, some symptom of a flu virus in you. Sure you would, because everybody's been exposed to the flu. So naturally you have the antibody in you anyway. Yeah, the only reason the flu doesn't kill you is not because of the vaccine. Believe me, I know. Huh? The only reason the flu doesn't kill you is not because of the vaccines, because, you have a system that will fight it off. The only reason the flu hasn't killed people in times past. And, yeah, I know we talk about different strains developing and all that kind of thing. Sure it does. But so does the human body. The human body develops. Yeah, it evolves. There is evolution in that sense. The human body does evolve to ward off diseases that come at it in different times and in American history. And many times, yes, it does take people to die off for the strong to survive. That is the way of nature. I have nothing to do with it It has nothing to do really with the way God wants it to be. It's the fall of man. It's the way nature is. Nature wasn't like this. There wasn't any reason for us to perish except to violate the laws of who created the nature and then give yourself the ability to alter it. I saw Jeff Bezos, and you know, I'm no fan of Jeff Bezos whatsoever, but I am a fan of capitalism. I'm a fan of the American way and American ingenuity. I'm a big-time fan of that. And I hope to real soon, you know, be able to once again engage in that type of vigorous activity as far as promoting and advancing American ideas. But Bezos did something today, as Branson did a couple of weeks ago. It was just phenomenal to see an American project shoot into space. This is an individual capitalist effort. And, of course, Bezos is the richest man in the world, who is also supporting some of the most liberal ideas in the world. I just don't understand that. How this model of capitalism, this model of the free market, could be so, I don't know, liberal. I just don't understand that. I don't get that. But, you know, when you're richest man in the world, you can be anything you want. Because guess what? You do become a citizen of the world. Yes, you're an American, but you're a citizen of the world. You're the richest man in the world. So naturally, everybody knows you. Anybody with money beneath you who's not the richest man in the world, you know the second richest man. You know them. They're your friends. They're people you know. And you just put yourself in touch space, man. And even though I disagree with you politically and the way you're monitoring and censoring American speech, I got to take my, I mean, you know, you got to give credit. Folks, listen, the only way that you're ever going to get any credit is you got to give credit when credit is due. And Jeff Bezos, tip my hat to you, brother. Tip my hat to you. That was phenomenal. But there's a reason why COVID, though, not Bezos' accomplishment, but COVID is on the main stage. Man achieving flight is perhaps the greatest thing that we have ever accomplished. God has allowed us to accomplish in this world. I fly all the time. Let me tell you something. Flight is the most amazing thing, friends. I know we all take it for granted, but it's the most amazing thing because there is not one part of that plane that flies by itself. The engines don't fly by themselves. The wings don't fly by themselves. It took an American mind. It took the Wright brothers. They could not have imagined what Jeff Bezos just accomplished. What Branson accomplished, what Richard Branson accomplished. Never met either one of them. I do intend to do it, though. No, I'm not going up in any spacecraft. No. Not doing it. No need to do that. I can enjoy it from a distance. That's what I'm going to do. But anyway, how about all these illegals coming in? You do have a surge in COVID? Huh? You got a surge in COVID? So how about all these illegals coming in? What is happening in America? We're going to talk about it on the other side of the short break with Larry Taunton. You're listening to the C.L. Bryant Show, coast to coast and border to border, daily right here on Red State Talk. I'll be right back.
Red State Talk Radio is now available as a voice command on your Amazon Echo and Echo Dot by simply saying, Alexa, play Red State Talk Radio.
Red State Talk Radio on TuneIn.
Turn to every single American. Now, we've been hearing all these stories about sanctuary cities that...
You can now find us on the Amazon Echo and Echo Dot, on TuneIn, on iHeartRadio, and we also have the phone apps in the App Store for your particular phone. And just in case we activated your Echo Dot, Alexa, stop.
Coast to coast, border to border, throughout the fruited plains of the greatest nation, the greatest nation on the face of the planet, and that is America. I'm CL, and this is the CL Bryant Show. To all of you who come along with us as we build the bridge daily to conversation right here on the CL Bryant Show, I want to thank you. Thank you for listening to us on the largest talk platform in the nation, Red State. And, of course, go and download free the Red State app as well. We have an incredible lineup. Martinez is right ahead of me. Michael Martinez is ahead of me. And I got to tell you something. He's always great. And then I come in, Charles Butler comes in behind me. On the line with me now, though, is someone I'm going to be with in Birmingham, Alabama, this Friday. And I'm telling you, it's going to be, this weekend, 3 days, this weekend. It is going to be an incredible opportunity to find out and to have answers to this question. What's happening in America? Help me welcome to the show the president, founder of Fixed Point Foundation, and our host at What's Happening, Understanding What's Happening in America, Larry Alex Taunton. Thank you for returning to the CL Bryant Show. How are you, brother?
How are you, CL?
I am doing fantastically well, Larry, and thank you so much for being there. Larry, let's kick it off again. What is happening? Tell us, what is happening in America? It ain't good. It ain't good.
Well, you know, I think we are seeing an effort at a coup d'etat, CL. I think we are witnessing a situation in this country where the cultural Marxism has infiltrated governments, it's infiltrated corporate America, it's infiltrated our sports, our schools, elsewhere. I do not believe that it reflects the values of this country, of the people of this country, at least not the majority of them. And it certainly is antithetical to our founding, you know, documents and the concepts of freedom. In fact, it represents everything that our forefathers fought against. So we're going to be gathering in Birmingham, Alabama, this weekend, an event called Understanding What is Happening in America and What We Can Do. You can find out about it on my website at LarryAlexTaunton, that's TAUNTON.com, right there on the homepage. You scroll down a bit, you'll see CL's face and mine and Eric Metaxas, Tom Askell, Sam Sorbo, people who will be speaking at this conference. And we're really hoping, CL, not just to equip people, as you know, but we want to mobilize them. It's time that this situation that we're seeing of the tail wagging the dog comes to an end.
Absolutely. Larry Taunton, the tail wagging the dog. How did we get to this point?
Well, you know, as has often been said, it's the only thing that's necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And I think we've been asleep at the switch for a very long time. I think one of the primary things that we haven't been paying attention to is education. You know, many of the people who are filling the ranks of Antifa and Black Lives Matter, and indeed in our government, people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, they are products of an acidic, a corrosive education that views America as the global enemy. In other words, we are raising homegrown terrorists. We are raising up generations of people who have not been taught the history of this country, not properly, who do not have a real understanding of the world, of our founding documents, of who we are as a people and what we've come through. And part of that history is understanding that we are an imperfect, sinful people. You and I are both Christians, and we believe that human nature has fallen. But we also believe that America is a country that has faced her sins with honesty, has sought to address them, and that we have a philosophy of redemption in this country, and that largely comes from our Judeo-Christian heritage. And it is what has enabled us to overcome so many of the wrongs committed in this country, but it's also served to make us a great people, a great nation.
Absolutely.
And so I think education has been a very key area that conservatives have ignored for a very long time.
Then let me ask you, Larry, since we're speaking of education, we think of our young people and so forth, there seems to be a move to allow our young people to cast off, to throw off the American historical shell, as you said, the principles that have made us great. Why is there such a push? Is it necessary to have that taken off of our next generation before we can actually have a takedown of the country? Is that what we're trying to prevent? Talk to us.
Yeah, I think, CL, that, listen, the current generation of Americans are the wealthiest generation ever in the history of this country. They're also the most ungrateful. They've known no privation. They've known no suffering. They've known no world wars. They've known no great depressions. They haven't experienced any of those things. And as a result, it's easy to concoct, it's easy to invent a story of your own privation and suffering. Now, as you know, my daughter was just married a couple of weeks ago, and she is adopted from Ukraine. I wrote a book about her called The Grace Effect. We adopted her at age 10. She was raised in she was abandoned at birth and raised in three different orphanages that were still running off of communist principles, socialist ideas, the very kind of ideas, Marxist ideas that they're trying to bring in to this country. Now, she suffered under that those kind of regimes, those kind of educational systems that saw human beings as nothing more than brick and mortar for building of the perfect state. She came to this country. She has loved this country. She's grabbed every opportunity with both hands. And if anyone has a right to feel deeply resentful and to be full of hate, it would be my daughter. And yet my daughter's full of love. She's full of love for the people around her, for the opportunities this country has given her. And she's known great, real suffering. Now, I contrast that, CL, with so many of the young people that I meet who have never known any real suffering, who've never known any real discrimination. They've not known any of that, and yet they are certain that they are victims. And I think that part of that is that the psychology of Marxism, CL, they understand, they have a very cynical understanding of human nature, and that is that it's easy to convince people that they are victims of someone else's treachery, that their own failures are someone else's fault.
Wow. You know, Larry, you said a whole lot there, buddy. I mean, you said a whole lot there, because when you look at what you have just said, so many times we look for a scapegoat or somebody to put our problems and our troubles on. When we look at that type of scapegoat, then we do, in fact, become venomous toward those who we perceive are doing better than we are. And it's their fault. It has to be their fault. Is that what caused the Jews? Isn't that what caused Hitler to kill the Jews in Germany? What are we leading to here with this type of fascism? There's fascism, Larry, that's being directed at American citizens right now by those who claim to be anti-fascist. It is sick. It's crazy what's happening, man. The censorship. How is it possible that we as American citizens will stand by for the censorship? I was just somewhat censored on my Instagram account, for crying out loud, just a little bit. They tagged
a post that I put up as partially untrue. And I mean, who's this 20-year-old kid in his parents' basement doing this? I mean, how are we standing for this, Larry? Talk to us.
It's unbelievable, CL. You and I both believe that, you know, a David Dukes or a Louis Farrakhan or whoever say what they like to say. We believe that in a free market of ideas, we believe in free speech. And that means that if the nutty people get to say what they want to say, and the rest of us get to say what we want to say. That's the principle of free speech. That's what it looks like. But see, the way Marxists and fascists, and they kind of blend into one. We traditionally think of one, you know, socialism, communism, Marxism as an expression of the extreme political left, and fascism as an expression of the extreme political right. But the fact is, it's more of a circle. They come to a point where they're more or less the same thing. They operate, they practice in the same way. When it comes right down to the way they treat their citizens, and that they're both ultimately godless. Both of them are atheistic at their core. But what they do is something that we're seeing in this country is something called intersectionality. And intersectionality is this idea that we divide people into ever smaller people groups. And so we turn heterosexuals against homosexuals. We turn men against women. We turn black against white. We turn rich against poor. We turn American citizens against people who are not American citizens, and vice versa. This is what this looks like. And so what we are seeing is a Democratic Party that claims to be about uniting people, and instead they are inciting violence and they're exciting hatred between various people groups. And then, as every totalitarian system does, they present themselves as the solution to the very problem that they have created.
And folks, we all know that is a bunch of, as Joe Biden, to quote Joe Biden, that's malarkey. That certainly is. And so when we look at understanding what's happening, what's going on in America, we want you to join us. It's not too late to join us this weekend. Larry, tell folks how to do that.
Yes, sir. They can. We're at Birmingham, Alabama, at the lovely Grand Bohemian Hotel in Mountain Brook, which is a suburb of the city of Birmingham. And you can find out about this at Larry Alex Taunton. That's TAUNTON, LarryAlexTaunton.com. And there on the homepage, you'll scroll down, you'll see the little bit about this conference. You can click there. You can register at the Grand Bohemian. It's a little out of your price range. There are other hotels, loads of them, in the area that are not expensive at all. And what we're going to be doing this weekend is we're going to be conversing with you. We're going to be engaging with you, and we're going to be strategizing about how we as a people can mobilize to end what we're seeing in this country. I mean, let's think about this. Roughly 80 million people voted for Donald Trump. Donald Trump won this election. There's no question about that. He won this election. And it's time that the American people mobilize against the hate that we're seeing in this country and unite against it and return this country to law and order.
Absolutely. And, you know, Larry, you and I talked about this on an interview that you did of me, and you said something really that I had never thought about. Many of you may have never thought about this too. But when I said, how is it possible that we can believe that Joe Biden got more votes than Barack Obama? You said, how is it possible for us to believe that he got more votes than any president in history? I mean, yeah, Larry, we are swallowing this thing hook, line, and sinker, aren't we? I mean, what is this? How did Joe Biden? We want to talk about this. I got about 5 minutes left in this segment. We want to start on this, though. Why Joe Biden? Why did they pick Joe Biden? What's happening in America, Larry?
You know, that is a great question, CL. I think they chose Joe Biden, and I'm speculating here. I want to be clear on that. because they knew that they could control him. I mean, how many times have we heard Biden say, and whenever have we ever heard a president of the United States say this, you know, I'm probably going to get in trouble for answering that question. You know, I'm probably going to get in trouble for taking questions. Oh, you know, I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this. Oh, when does a president of the United States fear someone behind the curtain?
Wow.
And so who is the Wizard of Oz who's pulling the strings back behind here? Well, I suspect it's a coalition, as Time Magazine itself has spoken of a quote-unquote conspiracy. I mean, Time Magazine celebrated this a few months ago, and I suspect it's a coalition of big tech, of Democratic Party operatives, of Hollywood types, and of big money donors behind the scenes. I mean, that's according to Time Magazine, and Time Magazine is no friend to conservatives. So I think that's part of what we're seeing here, and I think it's because Biden himself is an empty suit, ideologically speaking. I mean, we have video of Biden back in the 70s talking about how he wanted to be, I mean, publicly, he wanted to be a power broker and went to the people with the money, and they and he said, I'm willing to be whatever you want me to be.
Yeah. And Biden is still that way, Larry. And his vice president is more so that way than he is. Kamala Harris is probably the poster child for I'll be whatever you want me to be. That she's the poster child for that. Larry, you know, the church does play a role. And when we come back, the church should play the role in all of this. And when we come back, folks, Larry, you stay right there. Folks, when we come back with more of the C.L. Bryant Show, I'm going to continue with Larry Alex Taunton, founder of Fixed Point Foundation and our host this weekend. Go to Larry Alex Taunton, I believe it's .org or .com. But anyway, it will be Larry's going to come back on. He's going to tell us exactly how to get involved with understanding what's happening in America. Sam Sorbo is going to be there. Larry's going to tell us a little bit about her, and Eric Metaxas, the author, he's going to talk to us about them as well. I'll be there, and of course our host, Larry Alex Taunton, will be there. So wherever you're listening to the show, coast to coast, border to border, if you know someone in the Birmingham area, you can't be there, but you know someone who would benefit from being here with us, Larry's going to tell you when I bring him back in how to be with us this weekend. If you're nowhere else, listen, if you know where else, And you know, even if you're thinking you have some place to go there in that Alabama area, if you're thinking you have somewhere else to go, put that off and come and be with us. Don't spend that. Come be with us. And let us as Americans, as citizens, figure this out together, how we understand what's going on here, because there is, my friends, there's something to understand. Oh, yeah, it is. And you had better understand it. You better not walk through this world right now. You better not walk through this America right now with your eyes wide shut. Oh, you better not do it. You will get your brains kicked out. And with your eyes wide open, they are trying to kick your brains out. So don't be stupid. All right, we're going to look at some things with the church. When I return, I'm going to ask some questions about the church. Larry and I both are, and died in the wool Baptist, Southern Baptist boys on the phone here. And we're gonna talk about the church, the role of the church, the lack of role of the church. Why is that? The lack of role of a pastor. Why is that? We're gonna talk about all of that when we return with more C.L. Bryant Show. Don't go anywhere.
But I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me.
Red State Talk Radio is now available as a voice command on your Amazon Echo and Echo Dot by simply saying, Alexa, play Red State Talk Radio.
Red State Talk Radio on TuneIn.
Turn to every single American. Now, we've been hearing all these stories about sanctuary cities that...
You can now find us on the Amazon Echo and Echo Dot, on TuneIn, on iHeartRadio, and we also have the phone apps in the App Store for your particular phone. And just in case we activated your Echo Dot, Alexa, stop.
Stand up for America. Then Americans, stand up, stand up, stand up. God bless you. God bless America.
I do the best I can, always in the heaven hand, and for the flag I stand.
Yes, I do, the American flag, symbol of liberty. Even those who have pent up frustrations in Cuba fly the symbol of liberty. I think the Cubans may have the wrong idea about democracy and how that works. If they want to set up a republic, I think we need to go help them. But they have the wrong idea about democracy. Democracy only will lead to what they had if, in fact, they follow that path. But I do applaud them. Stand with my Cuban friends down in Miami. I was just down there last week. I got to tell you something. They are fired up down there. And we're fired up everywhere here in America. At least we better be, or we can lose it. We can use it the way it was intended to be used by our founders for us. The only reason we're here now is because of those old European white men. Listen, let me tell you, that's just the truth, right? Listen, there's no sense in trying to veil the truth. All of us saw their example of ingenuity in a free market system. And even those of us who are in chains, we still wanted a piece of that. And when we were free, we got it. And the opportunity is coming. It has come for everyone. Not the guarantee, but the opportunity is there for everyone who will exercise their God-given talents in the way that God has given them to you. On with me is someone who is blessed by God himself with the gift of expression. My good friend, Larry Alex Taunton, founder of Fixed Point Foundation. And he's going to be hosting myself, Sam Sarbo, Eric Metaxas, this weekend at the Grand Bohemian there in Birmingham. Larry, welcome back to the C.L. Bryant Show. And listen, tell everybody again what's going to happen, and then elongate that into telling us about Sam Sarbo and Eric Metaxas. You and I, we're tooting our own horns right now. I'm going to try to get them on tomorrow and see what's going on with that. But tell us more about it, and tell us more about the other speakers.
Well, you know, it's funny, CL, while we were on commercial break, I was going back and forth with Sam Sarbo. Sam Sarbo, some may know her as an actress. She has her own podcast. She is the wife of Kevin Sarbo, who is best known as an actor for the TV show Hercules some years ago. He also made the movie God's Not Dead. He plays the atheist professor in that, mega blockbuster movie. Sam is a strong conservative. She's a force of nature. She actually is going to be addressing the issue of education, and I think people will not want to miss her. Tom Askell is going to be one of our speakers. And, I first became aware of Tom because I knew a number of people who attended some of his conferences. I was not familiar with Tom at the time. And then I saw President Trump was retweeting him. And I thought, well, who is this fella? And Tom had reached out to me because of an article that I had written that had gone viral. Tom is a mover and shaker in the Southern Baptist Convention. He is the founder of Founders.org, which is a tremendous ministry. And Tom is going to be really giving us an insight into what's happening in the Southern Baptist Convention. And you may think, well, why do I care? I'm not a Southern Baptist. Because it's a microcosm of what is happening in America. And you can find my recent interview with him on my website at LarryAlexTaunton.com. And very interesting, because it's a real picture of how progressives in that denomination are going after the levers of power. They don't represent the majority. They just target the levers of power. And then finally, Eric Metaxas, the best-selling author. Many of your listeners will be familiar with the book, the blockbuster book, Bonhoeffer, some years ago, about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, that continues to be a an excellent seller. He has his own TV show, his own radio show. And Eric's an interesting guy because he's, you know, he's a Yale graduate, and he's, you know, he does a radio show in New York. And here he is, the staunch conservatives that YouTube just booted off of YouTube, you know, talking about censorship. And it's because Eric had the nerve to say the truth about what's taking place in this country. Eric's been a dear friend of mine for a long time. And, you know, really what I see happening in this conference, CL, is I'm gathering together a bunch of different people that I respect, who I think very highly of, and who I think are people who need to know each other. And we need to start stacking, you know, conservative influencers like hot coals and fanning them into a flame. The left is extremely well organized. Conservatives aren't. And that's because, for the most part, you know, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, CL, but in almost any institution I've ever been a part of, I taught for a number of years. I was involved in education. And the majority of people, you know, who are teaching, they were not progressives. But somehow progressives seem to run the schools. They seem to run the universities. They seem to run the institutions. And it's because there seems to be a that I want to control you. And conservatives don't think like that. I think for the most part, conservatives want to do their jobs and go home and enjoy their families and their hobbies and, you know, a little football on the weekend and that kind of thing. But there's a mentality among progressives that I want to regulate how you live your life. Whenever I've found myself in conflict, you know, in a neighborhood, you know, with a neighbor, it's usually someone of that mentality who wants to tell me how I need to do things, whether it's recycling or my lawn or, you know, my dog. Have you ever noticed this, CL?
Yes, indeed, Larry. You know what? The thing also to notice is that when you're talking about conformity, when it boils down to what you're saying, you're talking about conformity, and then there's something called unity, which two different things.
Oh, all I got. Like
New Testament scripture tells us that we should not be conformed to the things of this world, but we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And Larry, the renewing of mind comes from the pulpit. It should come from the pulpit because of the God-breathed scripture that is being poured out on the congregation. However, you are seeing, and I want to know if you're seeing this, are you seeing a conformity that is going on in the Christian church to the things of this world and a lack of being transformed? Larry Taunton, talk to us.
Well, first of all, CL, I want to hear more about that this weekend. That's a profound observation. I've never thought about that, that difference between conformity and unity. And it's interesting because you saying that, you know, gives me a thought. You know, I was talking with my son, who's a recent, you know, graduate of seminary, and he was talking about, you know, how he has noticed the scripture talks about the importance of unity. And I was saying to him, well, be careful with that. Yes, it is true that scripture does talk about that, but you need to be careful with that because the left loves to hijack, and they're burning cities, they're rigging elections, and then the moment that they take office, Biden is talking about unity. And you saying that, it dawns on me that really what they mean by that is conformity. We expect you to conform to our regulations. And, of course, the attempt to do this is through censorship. It's through, you know, using vaccine passports and this type of thing use coercion as a means of forcing conformity, whether it's forcing you to bow the knee to the LGBTQI alphabet soup of sexual preferences and predilections, or it's bowing in corporate America. They don't mean unity. They mean conformity. And I appreciate you pointing out that distinction, because it's a very significant distinction. But no, I agree with you wholeheartedly, and we're needing unity on our side. And listen, that means, I love these lines in the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You and I, CL, we believe that as Americans, we were taught to find commonality with our fellow citizens, and that commonality is found in our founding documents. It's a belief that you and I have been endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. And that's where we find our unity, in spite of the fact that we may have very different backgrounds. I mean, you're an LSU fan, for heaven's sake. I mean, where am I going to find unity with a guy like that?
Yeah, man. Larry, our unity comes because we're Americans and we love football. But we're not conformed. I will never conform with you to liking Alabama. I will never do that. I will never do it. Although we are unified in the fact that we love the game and we love our teams and we are Americans and we enjoy it like that. And see, tyrants come in, and I'm going to advance this idea in some point in a discussion session or whatever this weekend, Larry. And that's why all of you should come out. And Larry, got about 2 minutes left in this segment. I want you to give us one more time before we let you go. I'm going to try to get Sam. I want you to help me get Sam Sorbo and Eric on with me tomorrow.
I'll email them as soon as we're done.
Fantastic. To talk about this. And folks, tell us one more time, though, Larry. Tell us one more time where we're going to be and what they need to do to get there.
Yes. You can find information at LarryAlexTaunton.com. That's TAUNTON.com. And there on the homepage, scroll down a bit, you'll find the graphic there, Understanding What's Happening in America. You can click there. You can register. It's this weekend, July 23rd through the 25th, Friday to Sunday. Sam, Eric, Tom, me, CL will all be speaking with you, engaging with you. And you can register there. Enjoy this event. It's an opportunity for you to be encouraged to gather with other like-minded people and be informed and be mobilized. Hope to see you there.
You betcha. Listen, we're going to be building, educating, and mobilizing right there in Birmingham, the Grand Bohemian. Larry Taunton, Fixed Point Foundation founder, is our host. You need to be there if you're serious about understanding what's happening in America. God bless and keep you. Larry Taunton, continue to fight the good fight. I know that you will. I know you will, because, Larry, you are fighting the good fight. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. See you this weekend, CL.
I'm CL. This is the CL Bryant Show. That was my good buddy, Larry Taunton, on with me here today. And let me tell you something. We're going to rock it this weekend. Glory to God. We're going to rock it there this weekend in Birmingham with Americans just like you. We're going to send you away with some medicine for your souls and your American souls. And hopefully you'll understand that this nation, this land is your land, it's my land, from California to the Gulf Stream Islands. So hey, even though that was written by I won't even go there. But anyway, be there with us. Fantastic time we're going to have. I'm CL. This is the CL Bryant Show. That was Larry Taunton on with me, and he was laying down some really, really fundamental principles for us to examine. And I am saying to you that we don't examine them anymore, and our children don't ever think about them. How do you turn the tide? We'll see. Don't go anywhere. After the news break, I'm going to be on with my buddy, Clarence Mason Weaver, the author of It's Okay to Leave the Plantation.
Road, boys. I'm just a pilgrim on
broadcasting from within the borders of the greatest success story the world has ever known, the United States of America. It's time for an honest discussion from a fresh, new conservative voice. The C.L. Bryant Show.
Welcome back across the fruited plains of the greatest nation on the face of the planet, the greatest success story the world has ever known, and that is America, your land that I love. I don't know about you, but I do, and it is the greatest success story. It's the greatest success story the world has ever known. And there have been many voices who have been telling us about the greatness of America. Voices from all stripes of America. On with me earlier was Larry Alex Taunton, Fixed Point Foundation. They're in Birmingham, Alabama. And I'm going to be joining them this weekend, three-day conference. We're going to have myself, Sam Sorbo, Eric Metaxas. We're going to be right there with Larry at the Grand Bohemian in Birmingham. You make your way out there. You be with us. There's a few tickets left. You better grab them up now. Grab them up now. It's about sold out. You want to be there. And so, hey, folks, go to Larry Alex Taunton. Go to Larry Alex Taunton. And, of course, you make your way there to be with us. Myself, Sam Sorbo, Eric Metaxas, and Larry Alex Taunton. We will be in Birmingham this weekend. Joining me is someone I met over 10 years ago. It's been over 10 years ago. It's been 12 years ago. 10 years ago, he was in the award-winning film Runaway Slave with me. Many, many people over the years, over that 10-year period, have often referenced the quotes that have been immortalized on film by Clarence Mason Weaver. He is the author of It's Okay to Leave the Plantation. And you know what? We were all talking this type of speak. Herman Cain, my mentor and friend, God rest his eternal soul in his peace and glory. And also, we had people like my next guest, Clarence Mason Weaver, who was trumpeting an idea that many black folks, oh, no, it wasn't many of us. It wasn't many of us back then. And, I mean, and all of us were under constant Uncle Tom attack back then. I'm telling you, we were. But we paved the way for what you're seeing now, the Candace Owens and all of those, the Leo 2.0 Terrells. They ride on our coattails. They may not know it, but they do. Welcome back to the show, Clarence Mason Weaver. How are you, brother?
I am doing great, Pastor. How are you doing?
I am rolling, Clarence. And you know what, man? We both down here in Florida now and
yes,
loving
sir.
It.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Paradise.
It really is. It really is. Mason, tell us this. What is happening in the minds of people like the D.C. mayor and also the Chicago mayor, Lightfoot? What is that all about? You know, you and I understand it, but maybe the audience doesn't. Talk to us.
You know, evil loves to be evil. Evil is not ignorant. Evil is not unaware that it's evil. Evil enjoys evil because it gives them temporary earthly pleasures and power. So these people are trying to destroy a culture of success because they belong to the culture of failure. They belong to the culture of strife and poverty and dependency. So everywhere you see them, everywhere you see democratic control, you see poverty and drugs and gangs and no jobs and dependent people. That's what they are. They're poverty pimps. So we have to recognize if you follow the philosophy, Doesn't matter what they say. I have two granddaughters, Pastor Lee, 16 and 18 years old. They're beautiful young ladies, and they're not interested in these creatures called boys.
Bless your heart. I've met those. Folks, I have met these two young ladies. They are absolutely impressive. They really are.
So my word to them is judge a man by what he does, not by what he says. Because he lies to you to lie with you. He lies to you to paint an image in your mind. Democrats are seduction people. They will give you an image to follow, like Satan did Eve. Look at the fruit. It makes you wise. It makes you good. It's nice for you. And when Eve saw it, she sinned because she thought it would make her wise and cute. So these Democratic leaders only bring poverty. Every place, everywhere you see black people under Democrat control, you see poverty, drugs, and gangs. Every shooting of a black person you saw the riots for last year came in Democrat districts. They control every ghetto in America. How much more do we have to see to know how evil they are?
And how much more, Americans? That's the question that Clarence Mason Weaver is asking you. How much more do you have to see to understand how evil they are? You got babies in the streets of Chicago being murdered. I'm talking about black babies who black folks in Chicago, or at least the black liberals, claim to care so much about. The white ones, too. The white liberals claim to care a lot about black babies, but they're not saying anything about the ones being murdered. How Mason is asking you a question. How much more of this are you willing to take, Mason? How much more do you think they're going to take, man? How much more do you think they're going to take?
Until we get enough. Once again, look, I just mentioned it. Look at what they say. They say we love you, we hate you, we help you, we support you. But look at what they do. Your babies are dying in the streets. Your children are dying in the streets. And those who survive go to these gang prep schools, graduated unable to compete in America over and over and over again. If you look at what they do and not what they say, you'll be able to judge what they are.
From the time that you and I met, Mason, back in 2009, and folks, let me set the stage for you. It was a march on Washington, D.C., perhaps the largest that has ever been on Washington, D.C. There were one by Freedom Works and, of course, the police stats that we received from the D.C. police officer. There were 1.5 million people there. Mason Weaver and myself both got a chance to speak to that. We talk about an august crowd. We're talking about an august crowd. That's what that was. But Mason, what has happened between 2009, when, you know, we were Tea Partiers? We're proud to be Tea Partiers then. Mason and I are proud to be grassroots conservative and Tea Partiers now. But what has happened? Something has shifted, man. What has shifted in this country that has led us to this point? Talk to us.
You know, I had a conversation with a member of the press this morning, and I asked him, who was he? He's the liberal. And he said, I want to talk to you about why so many black people are supporting Trump. Why so many black people are supporting Trump? I said, the same reason so many white people are supporting Trump. See, you think it's a black thing. 73% of black people live in middle class.
That's right.
We're not in poverty. So that means 73% of black people have a job, got a 401k. They see the price of gas going up. They see the jobs being jeopardized overseas. They got their kids they want to go to college with. They're trying to pay a mortgage off. It is called capitalism. And we are succeeding because we are engaged in this new process now. And that's what happened. We are now engaged. But the problem, Pastor, is that now that we're engaged, we have to also now fight back.
I was thinking about, you made me think about this in your comments there. You know, is it true? Is it true? And I want you to expand on this. Is it true that socialism itself cannot exist without the host, without being a parasite, I should say, on the back of capitalism and the free market? Can socialism even exist?
Well, look at socialist and communist nations. Where are the Russian cars? Where are the Where's it? You got these folks in Venezuela. Where is the computer program they produce? Socialism does not produce anything unless they're doing it under slave labor for the capitalist countries like China. Before Nixon to open up China for trade, they already could produce was rice because it doesn't give the initiative for any human to be productive. It doesn't give you a thrill to get up in the morning with an opportunity to make work for yourself. So therefore, you can be the best bricklayer on the team. But you can be the fastest bricklayer on the team, but you get the same pay as the worst. So you might as well come on in there and be the worst. It doesn't incentivize any success. You never see a socialist nation where the nation could feed itself. Because there's no incentive to be successful in anything.
You know, Mason, I don't know if you know this, but you're famous for saying these words. And I trumpet these words. And folks, whenever you hear me say these words, I give Mason the credit. Well, you know how it goes, Mason. The first five or six times you say, Mason Weaver said, and then all of a sudden.
Let me tell you something, man. That speech we met in Washington, D.C., you are the only person I do not ever want to follow in a speech.
Bless your heart, man.
Alan Keyes. But that's it. That's nobody else.
To God be the glory. But Mason, you said this. You're famous for this. You said several quotes are immortalized that you made in this film. But you said this, and I want you to expound upon what you meant by it. You said that you didn't mind if your neighbor was a Klansman as long as you could be who you are, and as long as you go down to the end of, we were standing on the pier in Oceanside. We were in Oceanside, California, and we were filming this scene there. And you said, as long as you could walk down the end of that pier and buy you a sandwich, anybody could be whoever they wanted to be. In this, talk to us about that, because that's an idea, that's a principle, that is an American idea that people don't really understand. Talk to us about it.
You see, the civil rights movement was a civil right. That's a legal right. I could not go and buy a sandwich because of a legal restriction on me, not because a guy did not like me. So once we remove the civil limitations on me, I can care less if my neighbor did not like me or not. He did not like me. We demonstrated, Paris Henderson sat in the lunch counter in Woolworths not to get a sandwich. He was sitting there for the right to own a Woolworths so that we can do our thing. So if my neighbor could be a Klansman, he just cannot come in my yard and burn a cross. I don't care. He has the right to be a racist. He has the right to hate me. But civilly, we have to get along together. I remember one day a good brother come out of Walmart. There was a big argument at the end of the shopping of the aisle in the parked cars. This older man, white man, was arguing with this young man. He was all eminent. As I got closer to them, he saw me as an ally. He said, look at this guy. Look at this guy. And I looked at the guy. He had a little Volkswagen full of Klan and racist bumper stickers and a Confederate flag on it and all this stuff. And he was obviously a hardcore believing racist. And the guy said, do you believe this? Do you believe this guy? I said, man, where are you from? Accent, where are you from? He said, Argentina. I said, welcome to America, dude.
I love it.
This guy, I'm not afraid that this dude can be what he wants to be. Gee whiz, if he can't be who he is, I can't be who I am. If there's a law on him not expressing himself, there'd be a law on me not expressing myself.
And that is exactly the American principle that has made our nation great. And this guy from out of the country, visiting here, trying to live here or whatever, he did not understand that principle, my fellow Americans. And that is the most important thing for us to understand as Americans, is that you can be whoever you want to be. So that leads us to this, Mason. We only got about 5 minutes left in this segment, but I want you to stay with me if you can through the break. Mason, we're seeing a censorship going on. In fact, my Instagram account was tagged. A post that I made on Instagram this morning was tagged as having partially false information in it. Oh, yeah, man. And so who is this 20-year-old somebody sitting in their parents' house or in their basement somewhere censoring American speech? How have we let this happen? How have we gotten to this point? Four minutes, Mason?
We have the ability to recognize evil, and we try to convert it. God says to praise him, raise him up. We spend too much time trying to convince people that they're foolish, and we're supposed to be convincing them of Jesus Christ. So they censor us because they think that we're so weak, we have to be told and protected from each other. So you can't say these words. You can't do these things. They're constantly telling us this, and we are created by God Almighty. And therefore, every square ground that we stand on is free ground. So that's, I mean, we can't even argue about whether a grown man can go to a girl's bathroom in high school now. We can't argue that. We got grown people changing genders. We got grown men thinking they have periods. And nobody's laughing at them. Nobody, it's illegal to even criticize them on that point. Wow. We have to get enough. Until we do, we're going to keep getting this.
If we don't get enough of it, we're going to keep getting it. Clarence yep. Mason Weaver, another quote worth repeating. If we don't let them know, folks, that we've had enough of it. If you don't do it, you're going to get more of it. And hey, you better understand this. You get more of what you, you know, applaud. And evidently that's your right. silence applauds it.
Yeah, right. I do counseling for relationships. I tell the husband and wife, you get what you praise, not what you criticize.
Amen. Amen to that. And let me ask you this. Mason Weaver is my special guest, author of the book, It's Okay to Leave the Plantation. Mason, tell our audience in this 2 minutes that we have left in this segment, stay with me through the break, about your other works that you have out there and what you're up to right now. Talk to us.
I have 12 books out, over 25 years of writing books, and they're political, social, economical, and spiritual. You can find them on my website, clarenceamason.com or masonweaver.com. The latest book, in honor of my deceased wife, is Raunchy Secrets Only Wives Should Know. We're trying to build up marriage here, folks. And we got to have some, a conversation about love, because love brings the man and woman together, and men and women together brings other men and women like themselves, called a community. And communities of men and women doing things God's way is called a nation. And we cannot take it back our nation until men and women start respecting each other, understanding each other, and satisfying each other. Raunchy secrets only wives should know.
You know what, Larry, Mason, you and I have had this conversation before. We both now, all of you know, are widowers, and we were in long-term marriages. But this is what I want to ask you. What has changed? And maybe we need to save the answer for this to the other side of the break, running up against a short break coming up here, heartbreak coming up here, but it's short. Women, from the time that you and I first met our now deceased wives up until this point, have indeed changed.
Amen.
Yeah. Is the relationship, though, is there still that desire, that need for the same kind of relationship? Has the man-woman relationship changed? What's happened in the shifting of the role? We're going to talk to Mason Weaver, Clarence Mason Weaver, about that when we return. You don't want to go anywhere, because we want to dig into this relationship thing, because the definitions of that, hey, the definitions of that, folks, it's changing in this country. Your young people, your young men and women, they're not going to be the young men and women that you were. Oh, no, they view their sexuality even differently. They certainly do. And there are things that, you know, weren't, you know, hey, it was taken for granted that man was a man, a woman was a woman. That's up for debate these days. I'll be back with Clarence Mason Weaver when I return. Don't you go anywhere. I'm CL, coast to coast, border to border, over Red State, Red State Talk Radio, and we are the largest talk platform in the nation. Download free Red State Talk. Download the free CL Bryant Show app free as well. If you're traveling through Times Square, look up above Ripley's Believe It or Not, and there the CL Bryant Show pops up on the big board 24/7. Be right back.
Red State Talk Radio is now available as a voice command on your Amazon Echo and Echo Dot by simply saying, Alexa, play Red State Talk Radio.
Red State Talk Radio on TuneIn.
Turn to every single American. Now, we've been hearing all these stories about sanctuary cities that...
You can now find us on the Amazon Echo and Echo Dot, on TuneIn, on iHeartRadio, and we also have the phone apps in the App Store for your particular phone. And just in case we activated your Echo Dot, Alexa, stop.
Coast to coast, border to border, the C.L. Bryant Show is on the air, and I'm on the air with my good friend, Clarence Mason Weaver. Man, it is hard to believe that we've been up and down this trail together now for over 12 years, Mason, 12 years. And even though both of us, folks, you see us, you never believe that we have the time on us, that we got on us. But we both look good. And we both look good and feel great. And we thank God for being Americans. Full disclosure, both of us are black men in America who happen to vote Republican most of the time, if not all the time. And we are conservatives in our views, unashamedly Christian. Help me welcome back to the show author of the book. And I got to tell you something. He is prolific as an author. His latest is one that deals with relationship. But he is the author of the book, It's Okay to Leave the Plantation. But he has written a relationship book now. We're going to talk a little bit more about it. Because, Mason, as we were saying before we left, relationship is still desired, is still needed. It's the first thing that God ever created and given to man was relationship as far as human relationships. Man, it wasn't good for the man to be alone. He gave him a woman. It's always good for a man to have a woman with him. But, Mason, Is that so? I mean, are people embracing that anymore? Talk to us from your perspective, the author of those secrets that only men and women should know. Talk to us, baby.
You know, Pastor, if God said it's not good for the man to be alone, I have news for you. It's not good for
Amen.
The man to be alone.
Amen.
And so the reason why we have so much trouble in our relationships, it's because God put us together for our good. And Satan hates good. So therefore, he comes against every promise of God. And the first thing God gave man was a woman for his own good. And Satan does not want good men. He does not want men doing good. So he comes against that marriage. It takes a great dynamic spirit to make a man not want a woman. It takes a great dynamic effort to get a woman to not want a man. I'm dating now for the first time in 50 years. What happened to you women? I'm hearing, I don't need no man. Are you fooling yourself? Are you fooling? Are you crazy? Of course you need a man, and a man needs a woman. And these women nowadays, I don't know why, I'm not blaming women, because only a king can lose his kingdom. So men owe women an apology. We need to stop, take him in our arms, and say we're sorry. We're sorry to play in the game with you. We're sorry for not protecting you. We're sorry for taking an easy road out with you. And we're going to set up now and be the men, the king that God made us. We're going to find a woman to support us in our kingdom, and we're going to start pushing back on this. Can you imagine what kind of force it takes to make these young men now think they have periods?
Wow.
They believe they are pregnant. You got men thinking they're pregnant. What kind of dynamic force does it take to make a man not know what male parts he has?
Wow.
That is heavy dynamic.
Wow. And you know what? You know what, Mason? Mason, you have hit the nail on the head, because that type of twisted thinking, because that's exactly what it, now we could be called to the carpet for calling it twisted in this speech police.
I love the carpet. Call me the carpet.
But where did we allow the speech police to come in so strong? They've always been around, but
How is it they have gained such momentum and strength, Mason Weaver?
The first thing they had to do to get us to believe this tolerance. Be tolerant. Be open-minded. Your opinion is just as good as my opinion. And to do that, you're being whispered. God said, God said, God said. Therefore, I'm going to have to hurt your feelings or hurt God's feelings. And so we became tolerant and open-minded and allowed them the roots to start telling us what was fair and what was wrong. They tell you what you can and cannot say. You must use the gender identification that these clowns are using. So we're tolerant, brother, and we sit back and see the reason they're so effective is that all of us on this planet have seen evil. We've seen evil work. So that the impressions to try to change evil, make evil better, make evil leave you alone. Instead of bringing the power of God to bear, we try to appease the evil. The abusive woman tries to please her husband. The prostitute tries to please the pimp because they see the evil. Very few of us have seen the power of God because we as Christians are not presenting the power of God. We're not showing up in the workplaces and the political arena. We're not showing up. We're too afraid in the pulpit to mention politics because we may lose our 401k program. We may lose our 501c. So until Christians start showing the power of God, the power of evil will always prevail because people see evil every day. They don't see God.
Wow. And so when the light is not there, Mason, to cast out darkness, then darkness does, in fact, remain. It prevails. So are we facing, when we look at the darkness in the streets of America today, the hypocrisy of these what they call runaway Texas legislators, who six of them now have come down with COVID as far as that's concerned. But Scott Adams, who is the president of Red State Talk Radio, the platform, I was talking to him earlier today, Mason, and he says, isn't it convenient that every time we begin to put COVID in the rearview mirror, there's always something and somebody who wants to bring it back to center stage? Why is it such convenience to have COVID on center stage, Mason Weaver?
They control us by fear. They always bring up the fear thing, and they don't want to think. They do not want you to think. If you believe the figures, I don't believe the figures, but if you believe the figures that 700,000 people have died in America with COVID virus, I compare that to something. How about the 360,000 folks living here? I mean, 360 million people who live here. You got 700,000 that died if you believe the statistics. So it's fear. It's fear. And so remember, what they can only control us out of fear. That's all they ever preach, all they ever teach is fear.
Shifting
gears.
We
are not being godly. We think that God is a plaything that we use. We bring out the cabinet and use it when there's a nail is loose. We nail the alien. But now you have these liberals. Everywhere you look, you see panic and fear portrayed to us about everything we do. It's always against each other. I go to a store. White folks look at me. You gonna steal? I go to a bar. White people look at me because they have heard that I'm mean. I've heard that they're mean. And so we don't talk. And as soon as I start talking to them, we find out that we have more in common than we have in disagreement with.
It happens every time. It happens every time. Mason, you and I have had the privilege of actually building bridges and crossing back and forth over color barriers and all that type of thing for many years. And it never fails when I sit down and talk with somebody who you think you have nothing in common with simply by the color of their skin. You find out you have so much more in common than you do that is apart. But there's something being taught to our young people, Mason, that you can't trust a person because of a certain color. Now, I must admit there was a time in my life when I was president of an organization, NAACP. They didn't necessarily believe that, but there were many in the organization who did believe that. And that for some reason, white folks were inherently evil. But Mason, let me ask you this: from one blood, of course, God created us all to dwell here on the face of the earth. Now, my favorite time rolls around almost every 4 years, and it's called the Olympics. I love competition, sports competition. I love it, Mason. When I see a young American athlete, you give us your take on it. Turn their back on the very flag that they are representing in an international competition. Where does the justification, the logic for doing that type thing, I can't see how anyone could justify that to themselves. Help us with that.
They do that so that you and I could be talking about them right now.
Oh.
We would not be talking about them right now. They're famous in their own group. They got notoriety in their own group. It discusses us, but in their little group of friends, they're heroes now. They are now protesting great evil America. They have to believe the lie, not only about our country, they have to believe the lie about themselves. What I don't understand, Pastor, is how can you be at the very top of the game, the very top, when everybody competing against you, every race, every income level, and you become the number one person in America at the sport, and you still think there's prejudice in America. that's amazing.
When the Chinese wish they had your position.
Thank you.
The Nigerian would gladly bump you off for that position.
Lord have mercy. You complain about America. America owe you something. Fool, you're the best in the world what you're doing because of American training, ingenuity, and food, and our culture, and you're going to complain about America. That makes you a certified fool.
I agree, Mason. I agree. You said with the certificate. With the certificate. Certified fool. Okay. Hey, Mason, let me ask you this then, man. I always enjoy talking to you. The role of the church has been important, but you and I have known a tradition growing up as black men in this country. It's called the tradition of the black church. Mason, is there a failure? We talk about this sometimes, you and I, and I think it's time now to re-energize this conversation. Is there or has there been a failure? Is there a continual failure coming out of the black pulpit, particularly in the inner city? Talk to us.
Oh, in the inner city? Oh, man. You're going to get me in trouble.
Oh, no. Talk, man. Preach. Mason is an ordained minister, so preach.
You see two things in the inner city black church. You see, in general, I don't know every black pastor. Don't call me, rap me. I don't care about your opinion, what I'm going to say. You see the pimp pastor and the only women in the church being pimped. You don't see black men in the church. You don't see any praise of God. You see the collection. That's all. It's a business. So it's ineffective. If you don't have men, it's ineffective as warriors. We are supposed to be conquering. We're supposed to be conquerors. We're supposed to be taking the ground. We're supposed to be confronting the evil and the darkness. You can't do that. Women aren't made for that, and you cannot do that. So in the black churches in our community now, the only person getting rich is the pastor. There's no preaching about economics. There's no preaching about God's spirit. There's no preaching about redemption. There's only preaching about you giving him your dough. So you get a show for your dough. And so what's happening now is that in our black communities, the men have left the church because men don't take the foolishness. And women try to make things better. We're going to pray. We're going to work hard. And I'm sorry, ladies, you're not equipped for that. And somebody got to tell you, you're not equipped for that. You're not going to make that work. You're not going to change this world. You don't change the world. You give birth to the world, but we change the world. And somebody got to stop and say, it's time for men to get back to worshiping God. But the first thing we got to do is get rid of these sinister, unsaved pastors in our pulpits.
Wow. Wow. So the watchman of the family is the male. And the male has abandoned his duty of watching the pastor who is pastoring his female. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. And they're destroying that family and that relationship because God did not make that woman to be a good choir director. He didn't make that woman to be a good assistant to the pastor. He didn't make her to be an usher boy. He made you to be a wife. That's your primary purpose. And if you're not a wife and a mother first, you're nothing last.
Wow. Mason, you're going to get in huge trouble for that. But I know that you don't shy away from that type of fight. And one of the reasons why I love to have you on this show is because you bring to the airwaves things that many times are very, very provocative. And that, my friend, I know that got the attention of many, many out there in the audience today. Get the book, Mason. Tell us where we can get your work.
Well, we when this program is over, Pastor, I have to decide if I please man or please God. You can get that book, Rocky's Secrets, Only Wives Should Know, at GodCommandsSex.com.
Okay.
That is where that book is found. It's set aside for everything else that I do, because it is an adult book for females who are married and don't understand what's going on in their marriage with that dude, that king, that man, that a very aggressive guy that you're with. Because I've seen it. First time in 50 years, I'm seeing a tragedy. It's tearing up the black community. It's destroying one whole race. It's affecting everybody. Men have to start taking these ladies in their arms. And gentlemen, if you put your hand on her, if you got your arms around her, she cannot argue with you. She cannot say no to you. She cannot debate you if you got your arms around her. She got to push away to holler at you. Hold that woman, love that woman, and your family for generations will be blessed for it.
How about those kids? You got to love the kids too, right?
You got to. If you love the woman, you got to love the kids. But God made that woman because it was not good for us to be alone. Look, brother, you got two aggressive men. You got the gang members, you got the cops. They're both very aggressive. But gang members tend to be single men, and cops tend to be married men. Look at the gang neighborhood and look at the cops neighborhood. Who is safer? Whose kids are safer? Whose women are safer? Married men destroy the community. Unmarried men destroy the community. Married men always build up the community. And we need married men.
Wow. Mason, I like I said, man, hey, listen, I'm getting a text from a very close friend of mine who is female. And oh man, I'm telling you, she has that little emoji there with her hand over her, you know, that one that says, oh my God, you know, that's what she's saying. And hey man, I'm telling you, you lit a fire there. And
the argument is
now that's Mason saying that. That's Mason. I absolutely enjoy talking to you. I really do. Always good to be with you. Thank you for your friendship and all of that, Mason. Thank you for the conversation. It is always provocative. And God bless you and God keep you. Continue to fight the good fight that we have fought over the last 12 years together after speaking to that 1.5 million there in Washington, D.C. And I look forward to seeing you on the trail. And thank you so much for being on here with me today.
Take care, buddy. God bless you, man.
You too, Mason Weaver. I'm CL. This is the CL Bryant Show. That was Clarence Mason Weaver. Now, all y'all listening to the show, that was my guest saying that. And full disclosure, Mason, I'm full disclosure right now on you, brother. I'm going full disclosure on you. The opinions of the guest on this show are not necessarily endorsed by the CL Bryant Show. Or you know, so you know, Mason has his opinion about that. I have my opinion about that, and sometimes the two do not meet. But hey, that was a great conversation. What he was saying is that men, what he is saying to you is that you need to take care of business. You've stopped taking care of business. And Mason was pointing out, and I think accurately here, that there are pimp preachers in the inner cities and probably everywhere that are able to run amok because the men in the congregation are allowing it to happen. That's what he's saying. And now all that, the other thing there, you'll have to replay the show to get exactly what he said. But I knew it was time for me, and I got this text from a dear friend of mine, Leanne. But just the same, you know that there is trouble in paradise when men stop doing what they were created to do. And that was build community with the aid of the woman. I am.
You thought I was worth saving. I'll be back. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside.
Red State Talk Radio is now available as a voice command on your Amazon Echo and Echo Dot by simply saying, Alexa, play Red State Talk Radio.
Red State Talk Radio on TuneIn.
Turn to every single American. Now, we've been hearing all these stories about sanctuary cities.
You can now find us on the Amazon Echo and Echo Dot, on TuneIn, on iHeartRadio, and we also have the phone apps in the App Store for your particular phone. And just in case we activated your Echo Dot, Alexa, stop.
Stand up for America. Then Americans, stand up, stand up, stand up. God bless you. God bless America.
I do the best I can.
CL, coast to coast, border to border, throughout the fruited plains of the greatest nation on the face of the planet. Yeah, the greatest success story the world has ever known. And that is America. That is America. And hey, it's been a great show today. I've had on my first up in the first hour was Larry Taunton. And Larry, I'm going to be with Larry Taunton, Sam Sorbo, Eric Metaxas in Birmingham, Alabama this weekend. There are some tickets left. So we want it totally sold out. Go to LarryAlexTaunton.com and you will be able to be with us, in Birmingham at the Grand Bohemian. The Grand Bohemian, which is a grand place. But we're going to be there with people like you all around the country. We'll be there for you all around the country. You're going to have access to us all from whoever you are from all around the country. Sam Sorbo and her husband, Kevin Sorbo, you remember him, and the hit series Hercules. And he also is the star of the film. He played the professor in the film God Is Not Dead. And so I'm going to be with him, with her, his wife, Sam, this weekend in Birmingham. And Eric Metaxas is going to be with us as well. Number one selling New York Times author, I should say, Eric Metaxas, will be with us. And of course, yours truly, filmmaker, senior fellow, Freedom Works, and of course, a called gospel preacher of the gospel, C.L. Bryant, will be with you along with my good friend, author, and international personality, Larry Taunton. We'll all be there together, and we want to talk to you. We want to put things on the table that we need to talk about. And then, after that particular hour was up, we bring in my good friend. Mason's a wonderful friend of mine. He really is a wonderful friend of mine. And Mason he's older than I am. Mason's almost 10 years older than I am. And he brings in a flavor that I hear many times that would come from people like my dad or my uncle, who was younger than my father, about the same age as Mason. I think he was maybe two or three years older than Mason. And I hear the same things that come out of Mason's thoughts and Mason's mind that will come out of Mason's mouth, would come out of my father and grandfather's and uncle's mouth. It's from a different generation. And one of the things I think we fail to see is that, yeah, there has been a changing, I don't know if it's evolution, I don't know what you call it, that has occurred in the male mind. Yeah, there's been an evolution, there's been a change, good, bad, I don't know if it's good. But there's been an evolution that's changed in the male's mind as far as his instinctive protection desire, I guess we would say, of the female. And one of the reasons why that has been dulled in the male psyche is because of what was known as the sexual revolution, where women became of the mindset
that they really didn't need the man to survive. And basically it was true because you had so many trifling men out there that women said, hey, since I have the child, I can raise the child. And I know they can because I've seen it done I don't know how many times throughout my lifetime of women who I greatly admire. Throughout my lifetime, I have seen the strength of the woman and the American woman, the single woman. I've seen that strength. But how she got there has happened over a period of time by the male of the species beginning to feel less needed or necessary to the survival of his own child. That's what has happened. And thus we become more like the animal kingdom. I mean, you have them, you let them go. You know, there's no responsibility for them as far as that's concerned. You become more like the animal kingdom that way. But we weren't designed for that. We were designed for relationship and family. That's what we were designed to do. And the first thing that I think we must understand as to get back to a certain place where we can save our future communities, or at least implant again in the minds of our young people, the first thing we have to do is to see how God looks at that. And the way God looked at it was that relationship between the man and the woman was the most important thing first. There had to be a relationship there. That's what the whole deal is about, relationship. God's relationship with man, man's relationship with the woman that God gave him, and then the relationship with the children that you have that create the community. That's the relationship builds that. And if the relationship is strong, the relationship with the kids become with the man and the wife is strong, the relationship with the kids can be strong, and that lasts through a lifetime, and it builds a strong community. We as a people collectively have dropped that ball. We have dropped that ball, and we have conformed. When Scripture tells us, be not conformed to this world or the things of it, but be transformed from it. That's the only thing that keeps your community strong. If we were trying to transform our community, you cannot conform to what Joe Biden says about community. What Nancy Pelosi or Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson, they're the ones who destroyed that community. I'm talking about white, black, what have you, Latino, what have you community. Because, hey, friends, they're far more, even though the news media wants you to think that black folks are just permeate the whole countryside, they don't. There are hardly any black folks in Iowa, Nevada. There's not many in Colorado. There's not many up in Missouri. There's Oregon, Northern California. Arizona, Colorado. Did I say Colorado? Utah. You name it. You name various places. Arkansas, even though there's a lot of black folks in Arkansas, but it's still the percentage of black folks in this country is only 12%. My point is this. There are far more white people who are affected by the maladies, the ills in American society than black folks are. Yeah. As far as numbers are concerned, maybe not percentages, but as far as numbers are concerned, because there's more white folks. Black folks are only 12% of the population, 12.8 to be precise, more precise, 12.8% of the population. So we can't be everywhere, okay? You can take that 12.8% of the black population and put them in the city of Houston. Okay? You can put them all in New York City. That's how few black folks there are. In fact, you take the whole population of the country and put them in Texas. And I think someone said you could put half the population of the world in Texas, and there'd still be plenty of room in Texas. So when you talk about a percentage of black folks who are affected negatively by men shirking their responsibility in the community and then allowing their women to be led astray by these poverty pimps and these preacher pimps and all this kind of stuff in the community, in the community, then hey, what's left once that deception is complete? I tell you what's left. A preacher who has taken advantage of the flock and the flock wondering how they got here, because they not only were duped by his tactics and motives and all that kind of thing, but they voted for who he told them to vote for. And so they hurt themselves in the immediate community, and they hurt themselves in the broader community. And he, and I can't pronounce any judgments on it, but he has to answer to God. That's the greatest fear I have in the world. And one of the things that causes me to fall on my face and repent when I know that I have done wrong. But you have a pastor pimp out there who has never repented for anything. He's not sorry that he's duping the people. He's not sorry that he's taking advantage of the women in his congregation. He's not sorry for that. That's who he is. That's what he does. And I'm not talking about just black people. Please hear me. I am not talking about the black preacher. I'm talking about preachers who have taken the role that they're going to turn God's word into a hustle. It's not a hustle. And I don't want to be you when you stand before God. I will tell you this. My greatest fear and trembling are the things that I have not confessed for, that I have not begged his forgiveness for. You have to answer for that. And those of you who are not doing right by God's people, you had better, I don't care how large, how small, I've pastored large and I've pastored small congregations. I don't care how large or how small your congregations are. I've pastored from California to Florida, Thonon Sassa. I don't care how large or small it is. There is a reckoning, pastor, preacher, clergy, there's a reckoning. Rabbi, imam, there's a reckoning that will come. You just wait and see. You need to get it straight. You've hurt too many people. Hey, folks, it's been a quick 2 hours here. I'll be headed out to Birmingham over the weekend to be with my good friend, Larry Taunton. I'll be with Sam Sorbo and Eric Metaxas. Larry's bringing us together so that all of us, he feels that all of us should meet. I believe in the power of God. I believe that he does things in the fullness of time. And I see that happen in my life over and over. Relationship that I have with the woman in my life, you know, I see how in the fullness of time, God brings that about, you know, and I see how he brings relationships about that you never knew you could possibly have. Sam Sorbo, Eric Metaxas, Sean Hannity, those types of people who God has brought into my life. I've met everyone as far as the clergy is concerned, from Billy Graham to the current president of the Southern Baptist Convention. You know, it's just amazing how he does that. And I thank him for it, and to God be the glory. And until I can speak to you again, I want to thank God for bringing us to the close of yet another day. And I want to thank him for our men and women in uniform around the globe who defend our right to speak our minds. And until I'm able to talk to you again, I'm CL. And may God bless and keep you all.